Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. I am not the only member of my family broadcasting right now. I just opened TikTok and I see my brother's live streaming playing Zelda or something. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's got a decent audience, and these people like pay him money to watch him play a game. I don't know. The internet is a weird place. It is a very weird, very weird place. I am Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates. You could chime in, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I don't necessarily want to spend the next 10 or however many minutes debating on whether Pete Rose had a Hall of Fame career or not. But I would like to address once again the decision from Major League Baseball that Pete Rose is now eligible to be in the Hall of Fame because he's no longer banned. Pete Rose is no longer banned from baseball. Rob Manfred today just randomly removing the deceased players from this list. Pete Rose, the all-time hit king. Also, Shoeless Joe Jackson. These are the baseball pariahs stained by gambling. The mortal sin of baseball. Do not gamble on this sport. Which, we are now in an era where sports betting is... The level of which sports betting is a part of the game now. I mean, I'm watching these games on FanDuel Sports Network, these regional games. They've got rights to about half the league, and it's just like, this is why I like to look at odds, like, oh, hey, it's 2-1 odds of this, 3-1 odds, next coach fired. I like to look at that kind of stuff just to see what is likely to happen. And there's gambling networks, and there's people that want that content. And so you have the avenue to go find that content. I don't think I need to provide that content. I don't want to be like, all right, here's all the managers that are next to be fired based on the odds. And I would like to go through the odds with you just to kind of rank, but I don't want to be like, let's find the best value. I don't want to do that. Not here, not in this platform. Maybe on a different platform, sure. But here, I don't think that this is what that is for. If I say, hey, look at this. The Eagles and the Cowboys are opening the NFL season. Wouldn't you know it, the Eagles are already favored by a touchdown. I guess that's, you know, they're going to be at home, even though it's the Cowboys. Like, these home teams usually win that game. That kind of seems about right. I would expect the Eagles to win that game. I think that fits. I think that straddles the line that gets in the Venn diagram of, yeah, it's a little bit, if you're interested in what the line is, I've told you it. And if you just kind of want to know like what a prediction of the game is, we kind of cover that. I don't know that I need to go any deeper into that. I don't know that I do. But the fact that we're even talking about lines at all is one thing. Now it's the actual rights holders to these games. When you watch a baseball game, you see ads for these sites in the ballpark. You see commercials during the game. They have specific segments to help you make your bets. You know, if you watch the UFL, the Spring Football League, I mean, they've got one person who's just back in Bristol. They cut to her like once a game, and she gives her take on how to play the over under. That seems like too much for me. Also, where is the audience for that? But I guess if you're watching these spring football games, you probably have some money on it, because I was playing some daily fantasy spring football at the beginning of the year, and then I decided it was too much work, and I haven't watched spring football in about 3 weeks. I also have, that's the last time I gambled on spring football. So I guess you are watching that if you are in on gambling. But when they, why I'm saying all this is because when they banned Pete Rose, if they would have known that this is what the game would have looked like, I don't know how they could have done it with a straight face. That there's a team moving to Las Vegas, allegedly. I mean, Tony Romo couldn't even have a fantasy football weekend party out there at one point. And that was like 13 years ago. So even in recent history, gambling was seen as a faux pas. Now it's these players can't do it, but everybody else needs to be doing it. How can you even enjoy baseball if you're not gambling on it? That's where it feels like we've gotten to. So when you're inundating the fans, how do the players keep blinders up to that? I wouldn't be shocked if more players were actually like gambling in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I think we hear about like Porter from the Raptors. Remember, he was covering his over-unders. And then there was Shohei Ohtani. That was why it was such a big scandal. But then it was his translator, which we all just accepted at face value, I guess. It's the way that we've gotten to all these guys that have been blackballed for gambling. And now this is a sport. And it's not like, hey, you know, the guy goes up to the plate and then bets whether he's going to hit a home run or a single or whatever. It's not like that extreme, but it's an embracing of the concept that baseball used to totally run from. And it got a lot of these guys banned, including Pete Rose. So, Giamatti, the commissioner back in 1989, found that Pete Rose had bet on games while managing the Reds. He was banned from baseball. In 1991, shortly before Rose's first year of Hall of Fame eligibility, the Hall's board decided that anybody on the permanently ineligible list would also be ineligible for election to the Hall of Fame. It began to be known as the Pete Rose Rule. Rose at the time thought the banishment would only last for a year or two, and it'd be lifted. But then it became a lifetime sentence. Pete Rose passed away in September. He was 83. So what Rob Manfred decided today was, obviously, this is a letter he wrote to an attorney who was petitioning. So Rose, his family was petitioning for the removal from the list. And so Manfred wrote this letter. Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. It's hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve. Therefore, I've concluded that permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual, and Mr. Rose will be removed from the permanently ineligible list. Other guys on this list that have been removed because they are dead includes Shoeless Joe Jackson. He's been removed. Players from the 1919 World Series, the Chicago White Sox have been removed. 16 deceased players and one deceased owner have been removed. And Pete Rose. So essentially, because he's been removed from this list, the lawyer and Rose's family intend to petition the Hall of Fame for induction, that he should be eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. And sports writers would no longer be able to say he's banned, he can't be in. He could essentially, if the Hall of Fame chooses, if they said you can't be in because you were on this list, well, now he's not on this list, well, now he can get in. And the Pete Rose Hall of Fame topic has been one that, you know, has driven this medium for decades. And I think the big problem that I have with it is it seems cruel. It just seems cruel to me. I don't look at this as a victory. The Rose family does, and that may be all that matters. But this is the same kind of conversation that I've been having with recreating the voice of a dead person through AI. Retired numbers. The family saying, yes, you can wear my great grandpa's number one. We would be honored. I just find it really weird when people are being used and things are happening to their legacy that they don't know about because they're not with us anymore. And you might say, well, should we not watch the movies of someone that is dead? Should we not enjoy the music of someone that is dead? Well, no, definitely not that, but sampling a song of a guy who passed away, or you found a lost record and now you're using it in a new re-release, and it's like the family said yes. I don't like the fact that people pass away and have no idea about how they're going to be used to recreate AI voice. The guy's dead. He doesn't know he's going to be used. These people retire with their jersey numbers, or they die with their jersey numbers retired, and they think, what an honor that I'm taking with me. No, you're not. I'm banned from baseball. I will never be in the Hall of Fame. Well, you actually might, but you'll be dead. So if at any given point, Pete Rose is put into the Hall of Fame, I find that more insulting than keeping him out for the duration of his life. Because if you get to a point where you think he's good enough and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame when he's dead, the only thing that changed is he's not alive. They're not rushing to put him in because of their being in bed with gambling. They're doing it because he's dead. This is a thing that you wanted your whole life. You had to convince yourself that you didn't. You know, we know you wanted it. We know what we took from you. You wanted it. And we're not going to give it to you. And that, I think, is a lesson. That is a punishment. You are not, I did something that you found to be too much. So you have banned me. So now because of my actions, I can't get the thing I've always wanted. And I think there's some fairness to that. I do. I think there's some fairness to that. Pete Rose did something that baseball decided it's going to get you banned. There was a consequence for the actions. In this situation, Pete Rose is the bad guy. He did a bad thing, and then he got a punishment. But if baseball then decides that we actually are going to remove you from the ban list and the Hall of Fame may remove you from their list, what changed? What changed? You still did the thing. We didn't want you to do the thing. The only thing that changed is you died. So now we're going to give you the thing you always wanted, and you won't even know about it. Now they've become the bad guy. Why ban him at all if you're going to unban him when he's dead? Why retire these jersey numbers at all if you're going to give them out when they're dead? Why name stadiums after people if you're going to change the name when they're dead? What's the point? Are we honoring people or are we not? So I don't like it. I don't like it. And I don't like it because we've known this entire time. As soon as you are of an age to learn about the story of Pete Rose and why he's banned, we all came to the same conclusion growing up. Or watching it as it played out. Oh, well, this is clearly going to be lifted when he's dead. We all knew it. He knew it! So at least he passed away knowing that he would eventually get screwed like this. So who else does this apply to? What about these people from the steroid era? So you're telling me you're not going to put me in. I'm essentially de facto banned. After I die, then you can give me this honor? If it was me and I was ever on this list, I would just fake my own death. I'd fake my death. I would fake my death. I would go through painstaking measures to fake my death. If I was a Hall of Fame baseball player that was banned, so I didn't get in the Hall of Fame, but I would if I didn't do a naughty thing based on what you find naughty. Again, we're talking, hey, you bet on a baseball game, or hey, you used a performance-enhancing drug. Baseball views these things as the ultimate crime. These aren't getting you into hell. Okay, if I can think of it in... Is it bad enough that you think you're going to hell? And this is based on your beliefs, I know. Well, Pete, we were going to let you into heaven, but you bet on the Cincinnati Reds, so eternal damnation for you. Oh, welcome, sir. You can't actually get in past the pearly gates because when you were playing a child's game professionally, you put a needle in your ass so you could hit the ball 15 feet farther. You're going to hell. No, but in baseball, you are in hell. Those kind of things are hell. Now, if these people do something like totally abhorrent and offensive, and you ban them, okay. But if these are just these are baseball infractions. These aren't lawful infractions. I would fake my death, and then I would get in the Hall of Fame, and then they would have a ceremony for me, and everyone would talk, and I'd get up there and be like, oh, I only wish he was here to see this. And I wouldn't pop out then. I would wait until my bust was placed inside Cooperstown, and then I would sign up for the first tour that next day, and I would just start talking to people and be like, hey, by the way, that's me. And they'd be like, I thought you were dead, sir. And I'm like, nah, I faked it so I could get in. And then I would let it go viral on social media, and then they'd be screwed. What are they going to do now? Now they're going to take it away from me after they already gave it to me. You gave it to me. You wanted me to be dead. You're going to take me out and then make me die for real and then put me back in. Screw you. Screw you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Folks, for the second straight year, the Indiana Pacers are in the Eastern Conference Finals, Will their luck be any better this time around? Will they have a different opponent this time around? Probably. See what happens come Wednesday night. The Thunder. Feel the Thunder. Thunder. Huge win for them. Another big fourth quarter. We'll get some reaction when we come back. 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Yeah, you'd never believe it, but those were both the winning calls. So that was from the Thunder Radio Network, the second call. The first one from the Pacers Radio Network. I don't know how. Well, we're not 100% sure again?
No, we are. It's just, how could that possibly be from the Pacers?
I mean, dude, is going to the Eastern Conference Finals, you did it once. Is it old hat for you? Sorry to bother you. Goodness. Defensive Player of the Week brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union, proudly serving all who go above and beyond during Military Appreciation Month. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Their members are the mission. Let's give it to two players that had some nice nights defensively for their respective teams. The Indiana Pacers with a 114-105 win over the Cavs. They win the series in five. Four blocks from Miles Turner tonight. And for the Thunder, they win 112-105. They outscored the Nuggets 34-19 in the fourth quarter, and that's become a trend. The Nuggets look like they're on pace to maybe win. Thunder have a big fourth quarter. They did it the other night. They did it again here tonight. Defensively, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a couple of steals and a couple of blocks. So was it the greatest performance of the week defensively that we could find in all of sports? I don't know. Was it the quickest that I could come up with just to tie it into the segment we were already talking about? Yes. It served its purpose, and they will each be getting a certificate that we send to these players. Now, okay. Whether their PR teams ever show them to them or not, I do not know, but we will be sending our certificate momentarily. Again, the Defensive Players of the Week brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. So, what? So, overarching thoughts on the two games. I think with the Thunder game, little Imagine Dragons there, well done. With the Thunder game, this has been an interesting series. I thought after the Nuggets won game one, the Thunder could win this in five. I thought that they could come back out and just show that they are better. And they won game two by 43 points. But then the Nuggets got them in overtime in game three. Thunder were able to take game four back. They outscored the Nuggets 29-18 in that one in the fourth quarter. And then tonight was 34-19. So what I was looking at after game three was, okay, you know, they took game one. That got messy. Thunder are trying to follow up three, and that did not work out. And then game three, overtime, win, Nuggets. You're seeing a team here that has championship resolve. They've done it. They know what it takes to get through individual series. They know what it takes to get to the whole thing. There could be an argument, and a very reasonable one, for the Nuggets to win this series against the number one seeded team in the West. The last two nights, what we've seen is a Nuggets team that can outplay the Thunder. This Nuggets team can outplay and figure out the Thunder for 36 to 40 minutes a night. But it's been those fourth quarters where SGA stepping up, the Nuggets maybe miss a shot that they wouldn't earlier in the game, maybe some fatigue. And the youth and the talent and the energy is moving them forward. Mark Daigneault, the Thunder coach, spoke afterward. They have an ability here to win these games that are essentially, I mean, they do get a little bit of a cushion, but they've had to come back to do it. But they're winning games that are coming down to the last couple of minutes.
I mean, the close games are, first of all, our execution was excellent. You know, I thought we executed as well as we have, you know, in the playoffs, you know, down the stretch of a close game. We had a couple in Memphis, and then we had the few here. And our execution was very good.
They had a couple in Memphis. I wasn't going to do that. I said, don't do it. And then I paused so long that I froze, and then I did it. That two-second pause from cut to me talking is why you had to get that. Jamal Murray on the other side. Nuggets. Well, they can close out close games. Well, why can't you guys?
Felt like we got some good shots at the end. I just felt our defense wasn't up to par, you know, so especially closing minutes of the game. So I think it just comes down to a little bit better execution.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of our defensive players of the week. Congrats again to you. The second half was different for the Thunder. What changed?
They're like throwing different coverages, going from zone to man so often. Like just taking what the game gives you, settling into it, and living with the result.
All right, so game six, it's in Denver. Got the altitude again, 5280. Do they ever talk about that in Denver, that they're a mile high? Does that ever come up? Do they ever like play introductions like, by the way, you're super high in the sky during the Thunder's opening? They do? Oh, cool. They're cool for doing that. That game will be on Thursday night, game six in that series. The other series, there will be no game six, as this number one seed, the Thunder, they're battle tested. This might help them later on, but I think they should be able to win this series, even if it goes seven. I would like the Thunder's chances at home in a game seven, although I like the Cavs' chances at home in a game five tonight to at least extend the series, and I really like their chances when they were up 19 points in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden they were down 11 in the third quarter, and then they lost by 9, 114 to 105. Tyrese Halliburton, 31 points, 8 assists, 6 boards. He was 6 of 10 for 3. What the Pacers have been able to do in these playoffs is, and I've ragged on them for beating up on injured teams, and they have the last 2 years. But I've also complimented them that they are able to play team ball as well as anybody. You know, is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar? Is Pascal Siakam a superstar? Whatever series they're in, they're going to not have the superstar level that the other team does. I think Donovan Mitchell would be more regarded as one. And even their whole lineup, like, okay, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, that seems a little tougher than Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard. It just does. With all due. But the team comes together. They fit. They've got the right pieces coming off the bench. They come in for a spurt. They dog you at one end. They dog you at the other. They wear you down. There's no break against them. And the thing they've been doing very well is responding. Oh, it's a nice three-point shot you got there to cut the lead to two. We're just going to go on the other end, and Obi Toppin is going to slam one home and get the and one. Or we're going to get a three ball from Thomas Bryant, who you're not even thinking about guarding. He's just going to knock down a three and completely rip the momentum out from you. This was a series where the Pacers did what they had to do, certainly. But I think there's more to be said about the Cavs here. There's a lot to be said about the Cavs here. They did not look like the same team that they looked like throughout the regular season. Now, it's tougher. You're playing one team every other day. You're trying to scheme for each other. You start to learn each other. You can't just go town to town and beat up on, you know, the Wizards or whoever. But the Cavs beat, I mean, they won 64 games. They beat some good teams this season. But come the playoffs, they just looked a little fatigued. even in that first series against the Heat, they didn't. Something just looked like they were worn down a little bit. And that was something that Rick Carlisle wanted to do, was wear this team down.
You know, Ty's run of shot making in the second quarter got us back into it. And then, you know, we just had a lot of guys that played extremely hard. And we just said, hey, let's hang in this thing, try to wear them down, and see if we can outlast them. And essentially, you know, that's what happened.
I mean, they were gassed. Donovan Mitchell is at the three-point line, down 6, 2 minutes to go. He missed all 3 shots. He's like an 85% shooter. You could almost feel the weight on them. You could feel it. And the crowd was tense, especially after they had a lead. I mean, you get a 19-point lead. I know we've seen 20-point leads evaporate, and these playoffs have been pretty wild, but they had to be feeling pretty good because it was following the script of you come home, you're the better team, we think, you get a big win, you move on to the next one. We've seen that happen a lot in the NBA playoffs. This year, things are changing a little bit, it seems. And I would say, and I have said this, that of these 4 series that the Pacers have played, that they've won the last 2 years, they played a Bucks team that was hurt, no Giannis, and then no Dame. Last year, the Knicks were dropping guys with every game they played, eventually lost to the Celtics. Then this year, the Bucks lose Damian Lillard again. This year, to start the series, no Darius Garland for a couple of games. Game 2, Cavs without Mobley and without Hunter. But I don't think the Cavs are looking back the same way that the Bucks might be, or even the Knicks from last year. There's really no what if there. And I think the same thing with the Celtics right now against the Knicks. Jason Tatum got hurt late enough in that game where it already seemed decided. Celtics fans aren't going to say, well, what if Tatum was healthy the whole series? The Knicks were beating them. They took those 2 at home. They were beating them. And that's what happened in this series as well. The Pacers were flat out beating the Cavs. The Cavs, with everything that they could offer, it just didn't look the same. So Tyrese Halliburton, excited, they're going back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's a special feeling, to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and talk like I got so many years of experience. You know, I'm in my 5th year. But something I've learned from my vets and just being in the NBA for enough time is to not take winning for granted.
Well, the Cavs did not take winning for granted in this series because they only won one singular time. And it was on the road, game 3. They got a 126-104 win. Otherwise, they lost the first game by 9 at home. Then they lost the second game. You thought for sure they'd come out, and they kind of gave that one away. And then Tuesday night, they're up 19 points, and the Pacers just come back and wear you down. 3 times in front of the home crowd in this series, all 3 losses, Donovan Mitchell afterwards.
I love playing in that arena, man. Like, that energy, that crowd. We're 0-3 at home, you know? Let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special, and we can get it done.
So the Cavs are done. Things are going to be tough for them. I mean, I think next year they've got pretty much the same team. Evan Mobley won Defensive Player of the Year, which actually is going to cost the Cavs like $40 million over the next 5 years because of how contracts work in the NBA. He gets a pay bump, which is great, but also it's a pay bump against the cap, so you're probably losing a Ty Jerome or a Sam Merrill or maybe another guy you're going to have to trade from. You're restricted in what you can't do. Your trades, I believe, have to be 1-for-1. You can't aggregate salaries. You're maybe on a vet minimum sort of offseason. You're limited. Your options are limited. And they'll come back. They'll run it back. They'll win 50-some games, but then Cavs fans aren't going to get into it. You're not going to get excited again until the regular season ends and you're in the playoffs. In the first round, you'll probably play a team that you shouldn't have a problem with. Okay. And then you're in the semifinals again, and then what? when your team is like this and so good, and then it falls apart so quickly, you're not going to feel like a basketball game has any true stakes until next May. Assuming that they get back to that part, which I still, you look at the East, there's no way they're not one of the top four teams in the East next year, even with their limitations. But it's, like I said, it's going to be a slog of a year for the Cavs. It just is. It's just, it, as a fan, when you're perennially good, it's way better than being perennially bad. But the games, once you get a taste of this, it's like those random Tuesdays in January don't mean as much as they maybe did when you were on a 15-game win streak to start the season and you ripped off another one. Oh, it's so fun. You're not going to have that next year because now it's all about the playoffs. And I'm not going to, it's not, no one's going to take you seriously, but you're going to need to get back there before people do. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update on the Bart Winkler Show from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. On many a social media platform, at Bart Winkler or at Bart Winkler Show. Happy Gilmore comes out. Happy Gilmore 2 on July 25th. So it's going to be on Netflix only. We remember the great golf comedy of the 90s with Adam Sandler. Well, the alligator, did you see this? The alligator from that movie, you know, that stole Chubb's hand?
Yeah.
His name was Morris in real life.
Nice.
And I say was because he died on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He died on Sunday. The park that he was at, the Colorado Gators Reptile Park, has been holding him for 19 years. They say based on his size and his teeth, he was at least 80, could have been 90, possibly was 100.
How do we not know within 20 years?
The alligator, well, they don't have his birth certificate, you know? And I don't think he had a real ID. But the alligator from Happy Gilmore passed away at the age of at least 80.
That's sad. What a run. What a run for him. I probably won't even see 60, so it's for him to get 80, that's great.
Do you know what he died of?
If it's anything like me, cholesterol.
No, he had a bad case of reptile dysfunction.
The hell's that? Oh. how are we not
had,
off the air?
He had a reptile dysfunction. We're gonna find out the NFL schedule. Sometimes you just don't even.
Yeah, common in Crocs over 40.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we just get right back into it. The NFL schedule release will be held on Wednesday. They know the schedule. They've been slow dripping the schedule. We will continue to see leaks throughout the day on Wednesday, and then we will see the schedule. One interesting thing about the schedule, Fox has already announced a doubleheader on Saturday the 20th. The Eagles at the Commanders, the Packers at the Bears. I'm not sure what the times will be there, if they do a 1-4 or a 3-6 or a 3:37. I don't know what the times will be. But what's interesting about that day is that is the first day of the college football playoff. So last year there were games on that Saturday in the NFL as well. And you kind of flip back and forth and the college games didn't become good. So now the NFL is looking at college, who they're kind of like partners with, but they're like, not only are we going to put games on that day, we're going to do it with four of our biggest brands and we're going to make sure that they're rivalry games. You're going to see Eagles and Commanders And then you're going to see Packers and Bears. College, you do your nice little thing as you let in your SMUs and your Indianas. We're going to give you some of the oldest rivalries we've got in this game and put it right up against you. So we will win-loss the entire thing tomorrow, all 256. They'll take up the whole show, so we look forward to doing that. I want to thank Carlos Ortiz and Marco Belletti. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy Pat Boyle. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.